What is CRA? For those of you who are not familiar with CRA, it's the Countermeasure and Response Administration System. The genesis of CRA is with the pre-event vaccination system, or better known as PVS. And show of hands, who's familiar with PVS? Anybody? There's a few. Okay, so a few of you are familiar with it. But back in 2003-2004, there was a determination that there was a credible threat for a smallpox, a terrorist attack. And so there was a decision made at the executive level to vaccinate targeted populations. And at that time, there was not a system really at a national level that could track the kind of information that was needed for a freeze-dried vaccine that had to be reconstituted. And so kind of under the kind of the cloak of darkness over a couple of month period, the PVS system was developed. And it was developed very specifically to support smallpox vaccination tracking. And I'm sure you understand that if there's another event, we don't want to have to be reinventing the wheel or developing systems on the fly. So the concept was developed as part of the whole FIN structure to have a system that could support mass tracking of any event, any countermeasure during any event. And by countermeasure, we mean vaccines. We need medical interventions such as vaccines and drugs. We also mean non-medical interventions such as quarantine and isolation, scarce medical equipment, and community mitigation strategies. So this system was evolved to support the tracking of any event, any countermeasure. And the, as Warren had indicated, the system has been developed to support not only the detail level data collection that's needed in a point of dispensing or point of administration or treatment, but also to collect aggregate information for national reporting, and that's what we're going to talk about, a pilot relating to that. Now, let's see if I can get the right. Okay, very good. Okay. So how one of the things that we've kind of learned from smallpox was, one, we don't necessarily need all the detail at the federal level. We need certain focused information. The other thing is we need full coverage. We need everybody to report, or else we can't understand how we're doing in meeting the requirement. So what we came up with was multiple options for people to get the data to us. So there's three options. You can see Barack Obama. No. There's three options. Option one is you have your own immunization system or countermeasure system to collect the individual patient information, and then you extract the data and the minimum data that we're interested in and send it to us via three different mechanisms, piped and unlimited, XML, and HL7. We'd like to move towards the standards, but we wanted to have something that was very supportive of whatever situation you're in. The second option is the direct web entry, which we kind of see as somewhat of a backup situation, so where you can just access the CRA application through the web and enter aggregate state-level information directly into the system using a web browser and digital certificate. And then the third is if you, for whatever reasons, you need a system to collect the patient level detail, the system can be implemented at the point of dispensing and we will calculate the aggregate for you. So we've updated the system. We have very complex priority groups that Warren talked about that just came out. So we needed to test this capability to begin to see what was it really going to take to report at the national level something of this of this magnitude. And so we decided to take a very, minimal intervention approach initially, take the baby steps. And so we created a pilot for 2007 in which we would use seasonal influenza data to begin to test this capability. Seasonal influenza happens to be one of the most high volume situations where countermeasures are being being tracked. So it's kind of the perfect proxy for pandemic. So what were we trying to accomplish? We were trying to determine, how well can project areas collect and report to us, and then how well can we accept, calculate, and aggregate the information into something that can help decision makers. So a very minimally invasive pilot. So we developed a time frame of November 1st through 31st, and the frequency was we wanted you to send us data from at least two clinics so that we can prove that it wasn't just a lucky accident that you could do this. And what was the minimum data set? At that time, the HHS priority groups had not come out, so we were kind of working on the previous concept, which was a concept of age and target group. And age is typically something that you would collect during a seasonal influenza clinic. So we want to, again, trying to minimize the impact and support people to, immunize people. What were some of the data elements that could be a proxy for this kind of tracking, but that would give us an understanding of how well the system would be able to calculate? So we had a minimum data set, which included some of those that Warren identified, as well as the age category. Okay. And then some of the parameters for participation, again, very simple. Everybody was to identify a point of contact, and this point of contact was to work with us on the pilot, but moving forward would be our point of contact in the event that we needed to activate or that we would work on future pilots and exercises. The other thing was that each project area, and by the way, let me just explain, project area, I'm using that term and didn't explain it, is the public health emergency preparedness grantees, and it's the 62 project areas, the 50 states, the four metropolitan cities, and then the eight territories. So all of those folks were expected to provide a point of contact and select an option, and then identify a minimum of two clinic dates, and then send us the data within 48 hours. And to be considered fully successful, and we'll show you some of the results, you had to send two sets of data within 48 hours. So you could have not told us a point of contact or an option choice and still sent us data and been successful. I'm not going to read all this, but just the pilot was broken into three stages. Pre-planning, which is to get everybody up to speed, a lot of emphasis on communications, webinars, et cetera, and what needed to be done. The actual pilot test itself and getting the data to us and our accepting it producing reports. And then also we asked that people provide feedback on how useful was this to them, et cetera, and we'll talk about that. And then post-pilot, certainly, after-action report, after-action calls, reporting out to the National Immunization Conference, our immunization influenza coordinating unit, et cetera. And this will give you an idea of the option choices. So you have a pretty good split between the data exchange, so many organizations have an immunization registry already existing, many choosing the web entry form and having some manual processes we'll talk about, and then a handful choosing the detail web entry. And California happened to be a blended state, so they did a little bit of both of those. Okay, so what were the results? we were pretty impressed with the results. It was, if you think about 62 project areas and the level of participation and interest in supporting this, it was pretty amazing. So pre-planning, we had 100% of the project areas identify the point of contact as well as the option. And then we had 53 of the 62 submit clinic dates. So we hadn't gotten data yet, but we, you know, we're ready to go. So we've gotten information about the clinic dates. And when we actually got to the pilot, we had the vast majority. The majority of folks submitted at least some data to us. So we can show that you know, we have the processes in place to send the data to the CDC. Now there were some that were not able to send the data, and then within the context of fully successful, that's, you know, sending data for two clinics within 48 hours, we had 64% fully successful. So it was very, you know, high success rate in our minds. And then post pilot, we had very good participation in the online feedback questionnaire as well as the after action report. So we had very good project area participation. So we really got a sense of, you know, was this helpful? You know, what were some of the issues? What were some of the barriers, et cetera? Anybody from Kansas here? There you are. We'd love to show here. This is just to put the human face on this. This is the governor of Kansas getting her vaccine. And also, here is the Kansas bee, and John Lindsay is actually the one that's inside that bee costume. but anyway, so just a human face on this whole thing. So let's talk a little bit about the results. So, interesting results. Automation didn't necessarily mean we got the data any particularly quickly. This is, you know, how quick we got the data within 48 hours, and you'll notice that the manual methods actually were faster. But again, we have to think about this is in very low volume. So our, you know, hypothesis is that, you know, as you get into the higher volume, we're going to have more automation. But in the smaller volume, we actually found that the manual methods manually putting together the counts and then entering it on web actually was faster. And then as far as most people got their data in, this just shows, you know, how fast the data came in, and you know, the majority got it in within the 48 hours. And then we continued to accept data after the 48 hours, thinking that it was important that people you know, go ahead and take the opportunity to learn from, you know, the process. And so we continue to accept the data after the 48-hour period. So another thing we are very interested in, this has come up, is, okay, so is there any sense of the level, you know, to some extent, what's underlying the option two, the direct web entry? You know, how are people, how are people aggregating that information? Is it using a lot of manual methods? Is it using a system and then just creating a report? So we were interested in knowing underneath, you know, what were some of the things that people were doing. So you can see that a number of folks had an IIS that they were collecting their detail and then just creating a report and then entering the information manually. And that would tell us that they're moving towards option one, just not quite there. And then others were relying heavily on more manual methods, and so we'd like to see those move more to option one or to option three so that we can move away from the manual methods. And then again, the timeliness, you know, as I mentioned, the automated methods tended to be slower, so we suspect that there's some operational issues in terms of getting, you know, if you're collecting the detail in one system and then uploading or messaging, that, you know, there's need for improvement from an operational standpoint. And of course, the need for more systems, more than just systems. So the operations are an important aspect to this, being able to, you know, not only have reliant systems to collect and to send, but also very important how what are the processes underlying that. Nothing new, but this is pretty dramatic in terms of needing to look at those underlying processes. The other thing we were interested in was option switching. We didn't have a lot of option switching, but we did have some movement from 3-to-1 and 2-to-1 and so forth. And again, one of the things that you know, we want to be is flexible in terms of, you know, if you're not quite ready for option one, that we have other backup methods. So we just being able to support that is important. Okay, so just moving into the feedback questionnaire, we sent out an anonymous feedback questionnaire asking, you know, 9 questions on efficiency of communication, what were some of the barriers, issues that were encountered, that sort of thing. So we wanted to get some feedback on and the usefulness of this pilot. So one of the first things was, you know, how beneficial was this pilot in preparing for pandemic and for other preparedness efforts. And we had a pretty good indication that this was helpful, that it was either very beneficial or somewhat beneficial. Very few found it not at all useful. And there were 3 answers, very, somewhat, and not, what were the potential. Now, what were some of the issues that we encountered? Unfortunately, the very top of the list is the digital certificate issues. We had a number of issues from people, and just so people know, right now, CRA is deployed centrally at CDC and accessible via the web using a standard browser and a CDC issued digital certificate. We do have the capability to do offline, but the majority right now are having to sign in via digital certificate. So we had the range of issues. You know, it was slow getting the application in. You know, I forgot. You know, I thought I had my digital certificate, but it expired. You know, those kinds of things. So there was just a range of issues. We also had some issues with file format that we've since fixed. And then, unfortunately, with our detail level, we had an impact with timing out, which we fixed, but it did have some pretty significant impact on the level 3 folks, where they'd be entering information and things would time out. We certainly have fixed that. We expect that that will not be a problem again, but it was unfortunate during that time. And then we also uncovered some issues with communication, you know, within the jurisdiction or within the state or within the jurisdiction that maybe, you know, immunization might be involved with this pilot, but, you know, preparedness might not know about, you know, those kinds of things. So hopefully this next round we can kind of make the linkages better among those various constituents within the state. Okay, so then we also had a after-action review call, just following the standard approach to what went well, what didn't go well, that kind of thing. You know, no right answers, no judgment. And so what were some of the confirmed findings were, you know, confirmed some things and then we revealed some new things. Confirmed the SDN timing and the digital certificate issues. And then it supplemented some findings that, you know, we found that CRA was, you know, the general feedback was that CRA was very easy to use, that our support was good. We were glad to hear that. We needed some improved consistency on our communication. We had some issues with distribution lists. You know, during the summer, we kind of, you know, stopped having our webinars and then in September got back into things. So, you know, to have more consistent communication across the planning phase. There was a lot of support for expanding the pilot and doing something in the new season. And that's what I was going to... before I get into that, just what are we doing to address some of these issues. digital certificates, we're kind of taking a parallel track to try to address that. One is some system design elements that would allow us to minimize, you know, for really non-patient identifiable information, to minimize who would need to have a certificate, possibly using a password, user ID and password. And then also working on an internal decision memo that says, you know, during an event, you know, maybe declaration, when things are ramping up, that there might be some means of loosening up. Yeah, dare I say that? Tom's not here. But anyway, so we're working on that. The other thing is we've immediately fixed the timing out issues, and so we're hoping and expecting that that will not be an issue this year. It had to do with the configuration of where the, you know, the data system and the data center. And then communications, we had the training conference last week. We also have had consistent, monthly communication. If we didn't have enough to put into a webinar, we've set up conference calls to do Q&A, and then small group calls, particularly for those project areas that may have been challenged in participating. And then this doesn't have a lot of meaning, but this is the number of doses that were sent to us. Clearly, there were more doses than just two clinics per project area. Some folks just sent us everything they had, you know, at an aggregate level, and just show that we could calculate the age, or show the age groups. So conclusions, excellent willingness to participate, you know, vast majority able to collect, transmit, and retrieve data. You know, 2/3 of the project area submitted data within the 48-hour period. However, there are certainly challenges. We do believe CRA is able to accept and aggregate the data. And we will take some of the issues and barriers that we learned from this time around to apply in the next go round. Now, project areas were very supportive of doing broader, deeper testing. So, of course, not to let them down, we have a new exercise going on for 2008. And one of the feedback was that some folks had a challenge in actually identifying clinics during that time frame, so we needed to broaden the time frame to be pretty much fully within the flu season. So we extended the time frame to October 1st. We're looking to increase the volume so that we can get a better sense of the surge capacity. We're not looking to have all clinics, but we wanted to at least have each project area send a minimum of 8 clinics. And over a 4-week period, because another thing we need to be testing is the weekly reporting. And then the other thing, as Warren had pointed out, the very, very complex priority groups. Clearly we're not going to be addressing all of the infrastructure priority groups, but we could at least test out the general population. And that's a challenge, because it means that everybody has to determine, how do I put these people into these buckets? And that's probably one of the biggest challenges that are confronting people. And then we have the weekly reporting. One of the other things about this exercise is it's tied to the continuation guidance for the 2000 CDC FEP grant, and it'll support the biosurveillance exercise requirement. And actually, in order to meet that requirement, you need to participate in this exercise, and at least one of the clinics, if it's applicable, has to be in a CRI location, and at least one needs to be in a non-CRI. Now, there are some that are all CRA, and there are some all non-CRI, so, you know, we adjust for that. And I think I just talked about that. So where are we? And then I'll conclude here. So we have the release of 1.8, which is the going to support some of the things that were identified during the pilot and also going to support the new priority groups. That will be released September 15th. The development is complete and we're fiercely testing. We're already underway with the planning. We just had the doses administered conference last week, which was combined with the safety and adverse event reporting group. Project areas are in the process, or they have already provided their points of contact, you know, updated points of contact, and they're selecting their option choices. And I want to acknowledge that this is not an insignificant effort, and that there's a major collaborative effort among all levels of public health. You know, we've got the FEP grantees, which, you know, without their participation, their involvement, you know, obviously this could not happen. But also within CDC, we have a cross-collaboration effort with the immunization group, the informatics group, and the and COPPR, the Division of State and Local Readiness. And the findings and conclusions of this report. Anyway, so there you have it.
We'll open the floor up for some of your questions.
Any questions? Let's see, we have the mic, and then there's somebody back. Why don't we go first with the mic, and then next.
Jean, you mentioned in your pilot that several states decided, even though this application resided at CDC and was accessible via certificates, that states nevertheless were able to provide you with patient-level data.
Mm-hmm.
How did you get over the usual pushback of state and local to have their patient-level data reside at CDC?
Well, we have that's a standard FAQ, if you will. And, you know, first, you know, from a HIPAA standpoint, as you know, public health does not require authorization. So that's number one. Number two, we have very strict security requirements so that we meet the HIPAA security requirements and probably more so. But probably most important is that even though the data is residing here is personally identified, it is not accessible by anybody other than the jurisdiction. And in fact, during the smallpox era, you know, CDC did not have access to the detail. Is only the jurisdictions that did, and we only were interested in the aggregate information. So among those things, you know, that's the reasoning. I'm sure you understand that having anything of that sensitive nature, and CDC has a lot of that, we have very, very strict security requirements. But that being said, we have developed the capability to do an offline state deployable version that can then send aggregates to ourselves. But anyway, so that's how we've kind of dealt with it.
Another quick question. Do you think in a pandemic, weekly reporting will be adequate as opposed to daily reporting?
I will defer to Warren.
I think the current thinking is yes. We hope that will be adequate enough to kind of monitor uptake of the vaccine in those core priorities. Right now, we think so. That's one of the reasons we did the first pilot test within 48 hours, just to kind of assess technical capability. Should we get to that point, what can we do? But I think right now, we feel pretty comfortable that we can.
Yeah, and there's no technical reason that we couldn't support different time. There was somebody back here?
Yeah, one question. When the states were setting up their exercises, they were, with our state, we were looking at it from this is how we test our seasonal influenza clinic as opposed to a pandemic influenza clinic. Some states have point-to-face, others have walking clinics. You mentioned surge, and that's going to kind of depending on the clinic structure itself, that may bias the ability of testing the system, i.e. load. are you making any adjustments for that in 2008-2009 by asking the states, can you pick a harder clinic as opposed to an easy clinic that mm-hmm. is rate biased and geared towards success? Especially if you're trying to get people moved from option two to option one and three.
Yeah, and yes, the answer is yes. We have stated that we want the the higher end clinics. I don't know whether Warren. Yeah, the other thing is there are some that we want to work with, more directly. So an example is a drive-in in one of the states that drive-in, where they typically will get several thousand, and so we want to test the system in that. It would also be in the context of a pilot, and so we get the aggregate, but it would also test the, that high volume. We also have gotten from certain states the full state, everything they've done for influenza for the state for the two dates, but still, that's the whole state. So, and we've said, do not, you don't have to, just send us eight, just send us the whole thing. So we actually should have a means of testing the surge more through that mechanism as well, because we know at least a couple of states are just going to send us the whole file. Yes?
What are your plans for moving beyond vaccine-oriented countermeasures?
Well, interesting that you should bring that up. That is a question that comes up quite a bit. The system is capable of supporting antiviral, and non-vaccine tracking, so that's not an issue. We've worked internally to CDC. There is a requirement within the pandemic plan to assess and track antivirals, but it's a whole nother ball game. There's an infrastructure that's in place for vaccines that doesn't necessarily exist on the antiviral or the medication side. There's new experience with it and so forth. So, and we're not even sure whether the model is the same, but we are exploring that. Another area that we are actually going to be testing out in the upcoming CDC exercises is community mitigation documenting community mitigation strategies, if you will, at the state level with, our participating states. So we're going to test that out as well. So, but the model's kind of, we don't need detail at the federal level, but we're probably going to need to have some level of visibility of what's going on. So this model could be applied to those circumstances.